Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. Open your heart and mind now as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the radio broadcast again today. We are continuing to share with you on the subject of God's plan of redemption. We've looked at the fact that from the creation, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything in the earth, and he created man in his image, and he gave him dominion and authority in the earth. He formed man from the dust of the ground, formed his body, breathed into him the spirit of life, that breath of life, and he became a living soul, and he gave him authority. And he told him to be in the garden and to dress it and to keep it, which was to guard it and hedge it about from intruders. We know that the intruder was going to be Satan. Satan is the one who came through the serpent at the time of the fall of man, and man, knowing exactly what he was doing, the woman was deceived, but the man was not. He gave that authority over into the hands of Satan. At that point in time, man died immediately when he disobeyed God. There's a spiritual separation that took place immediately. All of a sudden, Satan's nature of darkness and spiritual death came into man's. The Bible says that through one man's sin, death passed to all men. And at that point in time, the authority that Adam had was transferred to Satan. Satan became the god of this world. He became the prince of the power of the air. And in that position now, Satan now is lord over the earth. The earth gets cursed because of all the effects of what Satan has done. Man is dead spiritually outside of any relationship with our Heavenly Father, with God. And now, man is actually spiritually fathered by Satan. God's on the outside looking in, but he had a plan. Genesis 3:15, he said, I'll put enmity, which is a hatred between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Her seed speaks of the virgin birth. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Jesus was going to be bruised. At the same time, that phrase, bruise thy head, means to break the lordship of a ruler. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Well, the way God deals with man is through his word and by making covenants. He made a covenant with Abram. And this was the covenant whereby he could begin to operate through him. And he began to bring forth that promised seed, because the covenant was made with Abram and thy seed. And that was speaking to the messianic lineage, which was going to bring forth Jesus. Satan tried to destroy that messianic lineage continually to prevent the coming of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God had his way, and he protected this particular lineage. To preserve the seed, God put in the law, and the law was put in order to control sin, because of the fact that when one would sin, they need to have the knowledge of it, and the law brought the knowledge of sin. And to cover over for man's sin, because of course man was not right with God, they put in the priesthood and the sacrifices so that they could offer up sacrifices. It would not do away with their sin, but it would simply cover over their sin. And during the Old Covenant period, the prophets were coming forth and they were prophesying the Word of God. That's the way God does everything. He said, let there be light, and there was light from the beginning. He said. That's the way God does things. And the prophets were prophesying the Word of God. It brought forth the Messiah. It spoke into being the will of God. And that's, of course, the way we do things in our life. We speak the Word, and it releases God's ability to bring forth his will in our life. Now, how did Jesus get into the earth? He got in through the Word of God that was prophesied. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah prophesies, and he says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, that was speaking of that, her seed, the virgin birth, and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, that means God with us. Here it was prophesied of the virgin birth, of Jesus coming forth, that's going to be God with us. You see, Jesus was God and man united together forever. It had to be a virgin, because if the Redeemer was born of the seed of man, he'd have had the nature of fallen man under Satan's dominion. And there's no way he could redeem man from that standpoint. It had to be the seed of a woman. And the seed of the woman, of course, is going to was coming from the Holy Spirit overshadowing the woman, bringing forth the child, which is the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the earth. The Bible says that the Word was made flesh, and that's Jesus made flesh. Praise God. Jesus was an incarnation, man and God united together. Praise God. And that's not just for the earthly season, but it's the same. It's for eternity because he is the man, Christ Jesus, that sits at the right hand of the Father. Now, why did it have to be a man? Why couldn't God just come and do it himself? The reason was because man was the cause of the fall. So man also had to be the vessel of redemption as well. A man had to pay the price for Adam's treason and walk the walk that Adam should have walked. He had to have a physical body in the earth to have legal authority to function. That's why Jesus had to take upon himself a physical body in the earth. And in fact, the Bible says that God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh in Romans 8:3, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. See, he had a body in likeness of sinful flesh so that he could be the Redeemer. It means he could be tempted in all points through this flesh that could sin. It had the ability to sin. Remember, Jesus could sin if he wanted to. But of course, he was tempted in all points, yet without sin, and he brought forth the redemption for us. Now, the way he got into the earth is through the only legal door, which is physical birth. In John chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And who's that speaking of? That's speaking of the devil. How did he get in? He got in through being able to deceive man. Adam gave that authority over into his hands. He didn't come in through the legal means to get into any operation in the earth. Now, how did Jesus come in? He came in through the legal door, which is physical birth. And verse 2, it says, "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep," and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So the legal entry into the earth is through the door of physical birth, through the womb of a woman. Satan, of course, is that thief. So we see when Mary was overshadowed with the Holy Spirit because she received the Word of God that was prophesied. And this is so important. We realize that the way Jesus got in is because she had to receive that Word. There was one point where she said, "Be it unto me according to thy Word," when that angel came and gave forth the Word that the Holy Spirit was going to come and overshadow her. In fact, she was asking, how am I going to know this is going to happen? And he told her what was going to happen. And then she said, "Be it unto me," in Luke 1:38, "according to thy word." And then we see in John 1:14, "The Word was made flesh." That's the Lord being made flesh. That's God and man united together, praise God. And so his birth came forth. And this plan of redemption that God had was hidden from Satan. You have to understand, Satan did not know what was going on. In fact, when he finally found out about the fact that there was some king that had supposedly come from the wise men, he sent some people up there to slay all the children under 2 years old. He did not know who the exact seed was, otherwise he would have went to the exact one. He didn't know everything. Satan doesn't know everything. Jesus, of course, was being protected by the Holy Spirit and by God giving dreams and visions and so forth to Joseph and showing him what to do. And, of course, he escaped out of there and he went to Egypt. And as Jesus was growing up, the Bible says he grew in stature, he grew in wisdom and favor until he entered his earthly ministry when he was about 30 years old. And from that time on, Jesus went forth and the fight was on. The very beginning was he was led out into the wilderness and he was fasting and tempted for those 40 days and he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when he walked this walk in the earthly realm, in his earthly ministry, he would preach the gospel, he would cast out the demons, he would heal the sick, he was destroying the works of the devil. The Bible says the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He demonstrated authority over the works of the devil. At the same time, he also had to pass the test that Adam had failed. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, that he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He had to pass the test that Adam had failed. And as Jesus finished his earthly ministry, and he had concluded all that he was going to do. He was ready for the final act to bring redemption by going to the cross and dying for us and going through the avenue of death to get to him that had the power of death, that is the devil. In fact, before he left, he was going to be the one who was going to fulfill the old covenant by the shedding of his blood, and he was also going to be making the new covenant. That's exactly what he did at the Last Supper. He was making a new covenant with the Father. In fact, we see in Matthew 26, verse 26, when Jesus was eating, he took bread and blessed it, and he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And so he was talking about the new covenant that was going to be brought in. Well, the old covenant was still in force at that time, but Jesus was going to be the fulfillment of the old covenant by giving of his life. And his blood was shed. He was the final sacrifice of the old covenant. And he also had made this new covenant with the Father at the time of the Last Supper. And of course, that was going to be ratified when his blood was poured out on the mercy seat in heaven. Well, the time came for Jesus to go to the cross. He was there in the garden, and he was praying. And he was there letting the Father show him exactly what was going to happen. In fact, at one point he said, "You know, whatever you want me to do, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." You know, this cup he was talking about was the cup of death. If there's any other way, let it happen. But he said, "Not thy will, but your will be done." He was submitting to the will of the Father. And Jesus was getting ready to go through the avenue of death in order to get to him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And he did do that. He went down in hell for 3 days and three nights. He was raised from the dead, and he took back the keys of hell and death, and he rose victorious, the one who had given forth his life in order to redeem us. We're talking about the great plan of redemption, and this week we're going to be going steadfastly, scripture by scripture, area by area, showing you what happened in the resurrection, what happened in going forth in the 3 days and the three nights in order to redeem us. Be listening to all these broadcasts. We'll see you then. God bless you.